Alright, lads and lasses, and g'day mates. Welcome to a very rare reaction podcast from the Tune Under Pod. It is 1 a.m. We've just got off the TV watching Eddie Howe's Mighty Mags somehow claw victory from the jaws of defeat. We were staring down a 3-1 defeat. We didn't look like we were going to get anywhere near even breaking even in this game. And then David Moyes made the substitution of of all time, bringing on Calvin Phillips. We'll get to that soon. And then Newcastle managed to see out the game 4-3. Craig, how are you going, mate? I am absolutely knackered after that. It was up and down, wasn't it?
Genuinely, it was. That was absolutely mental. I've never known a game like it in such a long time. That was absolutely genuinely batshit crazy. It was insane. But, you know, that's why we love the game and that's why we love the tune, because they give us moments like this.
It started off all right, didn't it, as well? It was like, what, 2 minutes and we get a penalty?
It was a bit contentious with another VAR decision, but I think we're both on the same page. It was the right call on that one.
Set me up for that one, mate. I don't think that was a penalty. I don't think either of those two things were really penalties, but the second one was worse than the first, in my opinion. But they're both kind of the same, you know. It's Gordon putting himself in front of the ball, not really playing the ball at any time. He's just sort of sticking his foot in way and then getting clattered as a result of it. The second one was worse, though, because poor Calvin Phillips, man. I mean, I was joking there. He's obviously a quality player, but he's going through some tough times, but trying to find his form. This move to West Ham has so far not worked out as he might have hoped. He's been dropped from England as well. I mean, the ball finds him in the box, and he doesn't have a clue. He's just trying to kick the ball, and fucking Gordon, like the cheeky little ferret that he is, kind of darts up behind him, literally sticks his foot in the way of Calvin Phillips' kicking foot, you know, as he's already three quarters of the way through the motion of it all, goes down like a sack of shit because he gets, you know, kicked in the foot, and after yet another long delay, we get the penalty that we, to be honest, didn't deserve but desperately, desperately needed. Let's just get back to the start of it, though. The team for Newcastle: Dubravka, Livramento, Shaw, Lascelles and Byrne. Bruno G, Longstaff, Willock, Murphy, Gordon and Isak. And on the bench, we had Karius, Dummett, Richie, Barnes, Kraft, Hall, Almiron, Anderson and White. And we almost worked our way through that entire team, didn't we? Because, like, we get seven goals in this game and lots of controversy, two penalties in that goal that West Ham scored that we'll get onto. But we also lost three frigging players in this team. We took off two substitutes in the process of doing it as well. But what did you make of that first start in 11? We are kind of getting to the bare bones now, aren't we? If we're not now.
That is pretty much the best start in 11 you could do. Maybe there's an argument for putting Gordon on the right and starting Bonds on the left, or vice versa, for games in the future. But Bonds is just coming back from an injury himself. So, yeah, I would have said that was probably the strongest 11 we could have gone with.
That was Joe Willock's 100th game for the Toon. Sort of feels a bit like it's flown by, but he's obviously been here for a little while. 100 games for little Willie, good on him. Didn't have the best of games, I didn't think. It was very kind of in and out. He was trying hard, but he wasn't doing anything. He was huffing and puffing. Tino was pretty good at the back, I reckon, until he picked up his injury. Shaw looked shaky as shit to start with. He was making all kinds of mistakes all over the place for my money. Byrne got moved into the middle when the cells went off. Bruno G was having a battle with his best mate all the way through the game. I thought it was hilarious. I said it in the chat a few times, but at no time did Michael Bridges and whoever else was on commentary with him, some Scouser guy, acknowledge that those two are best mates. They kept going, oh, the two Brazilians, there's no love lost there. Oh, they'll not be, sharing a house when they go off to international duty. I'm like, are you having a laugh? He's his best man at his wedding. They're going holiday all the time. The best mates, I mean, obviously they're going to be bunking up together. And there was that classic mate against mate, though, wasn't it? I'm glad we didn't see one of those pussyfooty type jobs where, the two scared or they love each other too much or whatever. They were getting stuck in. Mind you, they were diving around a bit as well, like a bunch of pork chops. But I thought Bruno had a pretty good game. Longstaff was kind of, again. Willock, I've already mentioned. Murphy, I thought, was pretty good. Gordon was excellent. Isak was excellent. And we'll get on to Barnes soon, but he was pretty effective in the 7 minutes, scoring two goals. West Ham, they had Areola in goal, Kufal, Zuma, Mavropanos. Oh, God damn, he's going to kill me for that one. Emerson, Cech, Ward-Prowse, Paqueta, or Patois, whoever you want to call him. Kudos, who I thought was brilliant. Bowen, who was okay in the second half. And Mikel Antonio up front, who got his goal. It's not a bad team, really. I mean, they're kind of doing all right this season, aren't they? Top, what, they're now 6th, 8th, 7th, something like that? 7th. Not a bad team. Seem to be doing all right this season. What did you reckon out of that one?
Yeah, they're doing all right. The fact they're still in Europe, they're still plugging along. They've got a chance of winning another European competition, doing that back-to-back, which would be mental for a team like West Ham. No disrespect there. But any club doing back-to-back European trophies is an immense achievement. But yeah, they definitely can. But they didn't have as many options on the bench as I thought we did. I mentioned before kickoff, their bench looked pretty weak. And seemed to very well be the case as the game drew on, which we'll get to in more detail. But as far as an 11 versus 11 for the first whistle, I thought they were pretty well matched. We were very sloppy in possession, which wasn't like us, to be honest. There was just random passes going astray. It was a bit awful, a bit terrible. And when Lascelles went off, Kraft and Murphy, you'd think they'd never met each other, let alone played on the same pitch. It was absolutely crazy how we're off the same level they were. But they managed to get it down, knuckle it up a bit. And it was a rip-roaring opening 15, 20 minutes. A goal.
It was.
Injury, VAR, another goal.
It was. I mean, I feel like in that first half, especially when we conceded just before half-time, which is never a good time to do it, as we always know, it just felt like we couldn't pass. You were saying there about Murphy and Kraft, but it felt like half the team didn't know how to pass to each other. Like none of them had ever met each other. The amount of times we had the ball and passed it passed it straight to a West Ham player. Like, not like a tight ball. I mean, there was a few of them where they were kind of 50-50s maybe, and maybe there was a better option. But the amount of times we just didn't look and just passed it square to a West Ham man who's just standing there with no pressure around them. It was ridiculous, mate. I mean, what do you think that was the starting lineup? Shearer was whinging on about the change to the back four. He was whinging at half time, saying that back four was wrong after Lascelles went off. And I was thinking, well, who the fuck else are we going to bring on? You could have brought on Lewis Hall, I guess. Who are you going to put in the middle, though? Because that's where Lascelles has gone. So you're going to have to put Byrne in the middle. Well, he brought on Kraft and put Byrne in the middle anyway. So was there that much difference? But it just seemed to me like we were never going to score from an open play. That's what I think I said that in the chat. The hell was the first half, man? It was dog shit, wasn't it?
It was. Apart from, I think, Bruno clipping the crossbar in the first half, and Bruno had that glance, and not Bruno, Gordon had a glance and header. We didn't really threaten their goal anywhere near as much as we should have. We certainly didn't capitalize on those two chances, and unfortunately they did.
And yet there was that stat that hoed up on the screen, didn't it, saying that we'd had something like 14 touches in their half.
Aye.
And they'd had four or something like that. And they were winning 2-1 or something at the time. And it just goes, I felt this through this whole game. Like, we were, until we started to get ahead of it, until Calvin Phillips came on, we were trying to basically be too clever in the box and try to, it was like nobody wanted to take a shot. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone was just kind of squared. Pull it back to the 18-yarder, go to the other side. Oh, that's not working. Let's cut it back to the 18-yarder. Let's go to the other side again, to the left. Oh, that got blocked. All right, let's what we're going to do now. Let's go backwards again. Let's try and go down the wing again. Oh, it's being cut out, and now we're having a counterattack. Like, it didn't seem like anybody just wanted to grab it by the scruff. Like, it just didn't look like we had confidence to just kick the ball towards the goal.
Mm-hmm.
What's that about?
We kind of walked in like prime Arsenal did. You know, we were certainly not prime Arsenal, not even close to that prime Arsenal team. They had quality all the way through. We're still playing with some squad players who will not be here next season in that starting 11. We need to start taking our chances and having a pot from outside of the box. You know, it's just something we just don't do anywhere near as much. Last season, we scored more goals from outside of the box than any other club in the league. I don't think we're going anywhere close to the top of that table there this season come the final game. Purely because, like we mentioned, we're trying to whack it in and it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, Harvey Barnes did his best to try and make up for that, didn't he, in this game?
But he did.
I mean, still, we just seem to be, I don't know if it's a confidence thing. I don't know if it's because teams are, like West Ham, sitting back, putting loads and loads of men behind the ball, and then just smashing us with the pace on the counter. Like, a lot of teams just know that that's how to beat us at the minute, because we haven't got the legs, we have a high line, the defence is slow as shit. You know, we commit, and then when the people play through us, there's a massive gap behind us, all those sort of things. But, like, whilst we're in an active position with the ball, moving forwards, trying to get in goal, there's like 13,000 frigging players you've got to try and get through. So I can sort of understand that they want to wait until there's like a better chance to shoot, I suppose. But, like, sometimes when you just whack it into the middle like that, it does a bit of pinball, and it can find itself in the bottom of the net quite easily, you know? And if you don't take those chances, if you don't buy a ticket, you're not going to win the bloody lottery. Anyway, coming back to the first goal, I don't think that was a penalty. I think it was bloody harsh, to be honest with you. I was happy that we got it, though. After 2 minutes, I said to Bobby on the chat, sometimes these, you know, if you score too early, it's like, I don't know. Like, it was in the space of 2 minutes. Well, how about that finish from Isak, though? Absolutely just slotted it in the bottom of the corner. He's an absolute murderer on that spot, isn't he?
He coolest man on Tyneside by far. He really was. The man has ice running through his veins. But going back to the actual penalty, as a question for you, if that was outside of the box, would it be given as a free kick?
I honestly don't know, but free kicks are a lot easier to give than penalties. You know, free kicks, you can just dish them out, usually. Penalties are the ones that you've got to be absolutely certain about. And yes, VAR is there to say, well, that was or wasn't the correct decision. When I look at that, though, my problem with it is that Gordon hasn't played the ball. He's just inserted himself in between the player who was trying to play the ball and the ball itself, which has kind of rolled past him at this point. Like, I'm not going to bang on it too much because obviously we benefited from it. But I think you need to be fair enough to say, look, that was against us. I'd be fucking livid if that had been given against us. Even more so the second one, because the second one was even more egregious. It was a stinker, the second one.
50-50 on that one. I can see why it was given, but I can also understand why West Ham fans will be raging with it as well. It's a really tough one to call, and I can totally understand why VAR asked the ref to go to the monitor for the second pen. But as we all know, when they go to the monitor, you've got 99.9% chance of a going in favour of the team, you know. So we always knew that was going to go to penalty. I think everyone in the ground knew it was going to go to penalty. But again, Isak steps up and Isak does what he does best.
It was the same goal as well, wasn't it? Pretty much. Just kind of...
Same corner, right?
Stairs down the right and slots it into the left. Absolute glorious. Mm-hmm. Obviously against two different keepers, because by this point, Areola's already gone off with injury, I think it was. I don't know what happened to him. Was it he did something with his hammy or something? Because he was... At the time, was it a thigh, was it? Because he wasn't taking goal kicks or anything. So we're up 1-0 and we're thinking, all right, that could be a great start of the game. You know, there's obviously a long way to go. Didn't take very long for West Ham to screw us over, did it? I mean, this was like a pretty poor goal to concede. Like, it's just a simple ball over the top. In some ways, similar to the one that Harvey Barnes scores to win it, except the one that Isak plays through along the ground and cuts out the whole midfield and defence is far more technically difficult to achieve, I think, than lobbing over the top and just run onto it. But nonetheless, that's what they did. I've already forgotten who the hell scored their goal. Was it Antonio who got that one?
Antonio, aye.
Miguel Antonio. So I listened to the BBC podcast where he used to be on with Cal Wilson. Obviously, Wilson is recovering and all that kind of thing. And he's actually since retired from the podcast. And we've got Tom Kenyon, I think, now. But it was he's actually a pretty clever and fairly balanced pundit, is Michael Antonio, and he's funny as fuck as well. I'm full of swears here. He admits all the time that he's not great at striking. So what I'm trying to get at is, like, if you're giving someone like Michael Antonio a run on goal and he's managed to slot past you, you've done something proper wrong there, though. Because, like, as we saw later in the game, like, he was a donkey in front of goal again. Once the pressure was on, he couldn't sort his shit out. But I want to know as well is, can we not get Dubravka to come off his fucking line and try and close down these angles? Like,
telling you, I'm sure Keegan mentioned it. He's got one of these ankle tags which prevents him from coming out of his 6-yard box or 18-yard box. He gets an electric shock every time he gets anywhere close to it. The man plays in lead base wellies, I'm sure. He's so afraid to come off that line, it's unreal. If he even closes him down by 6-8 yards. Narrows down that angle, puts the pressure on Antonio, and as you mentioned, he kind of buckles under the pressure. You had all the time in the world to pick your spot for that goal because Dubravka just sat back and invited him to get closer and closer. And Dubravka is not good enough to be here next season as a number two keeper. Well, I probably wouldn't even have him as a number three, to be honest. I would rather keep Karius than have Dubravka next season.
Well, I think we're going to have a bit of a keeper situation come the summer because Karius's wife, his bird, is trying to get away. Newcastle is inconvenient. The airport, because there's no direct flight from wherever the hell it is that they live. So she's having to, you know, go through the hardship of getting another airplane and hopping across, you know, to see a bloke. I'm pretty sure he's going to be making moves to get away. Dubravka's already, there's already been hints about him wanting to get away. And, you know, it's no secret that he wanted to be number one anyway. So, like, you know, he's probably going to be exploring his options. We could be stuck with bloody Gillespie at this rate and Pope. And we don't even know how Pope's going to return. Like, because he might be, you know, he might have lost his sharpness. He might never get that back. He's old.
Gillespie's away on out of contract in the summer as well. So that's two keepers out of contract and Dubs wants away. So we could just be down to Pope come the 1st of July, I think, when the start of the new season officially starts.
I must have missed that you spoke, Gillespie. So we could be staring down the barrel of having one senior keeper.
Aye.
Far out. Jesus Christ. I mean, that's one to watch because I think that is going to be brewing a little bit now. I mean, I assume obviously the team is looking for replacements, but like, where do you go to for that? I think they've seen some links for some European keeper, but I can't remember his name now. Anyway, if Pope had been on his line, which he would have been because that's where he usually stands in, when we're moving forwards, that ball would have been cut out well before Antonio got anywhere near it, and that wouldn't have been a goal. It was dog shit. Anyway, second goal. This is one I really want to talk about because fuck me. So earlier in the game, and I was actually annoyed at the referee for doing this because West Ham had a perfectly good chance to play a quick free kick. There was nobody, if I remember right, there was nobody like with a head injury on the ground or anything like that. They were set up. They could play a quick. Went down the wing to Bowen, and the referee pulled it back. He set his stall out early on in that game to say, right, I'm not going to let early balls go. Or at least that's what I would have imagined. If I was a player seeing him do that, I would be thinking, all right, well, we can't do that then because he's not going to let us. Like if when a referee gives an early yellow, you go, all right, he's one of these kind of refs. I better be kind of canny here because he's going to dish him out. So then comes up towards half time. Shaw takes a punch to the face. I think it's weakest pace. I think he goes down like a sack of crap. But it's one of those typical Shaw head injuries that he kind of collects every single bloody game, it seems. He's writhing around on the floor. The referee blows for a free kick to West Ham. How did he even do that? I'm going to think about it. How did West Ham get a free kick there?
I think he pulled, I'm not sure if it was Paqueta, but I think Shaw pulled him back. And in the act of doing so, Paqueta's arm swings backwards and catches Shaw in the eye, the face, or whatever.
Right. So Shaw's down. He's not moving. He's holding his face as he does, as all players do when they're going down pretending they've got a head injury. The referee lets West Ham play it early. So it goes down to Bowen. Mm-hmm. I forget how this bloody goal pans out. It goes to Bowen, then he cuts it through to, who was it?
Kudos.
You tell me how this goal went. Kudos. I forget how the bloody goal went.
And Kudos then puts a shot across goal. Dubravka palms it effectively into his own net.
That's right.
Chris Pakananza.
Yeah.
Dubravka should have done better for that goal, to be honest. Should have got much stronger hands onto it because there wasn't any real power on it.
I thought it looked like
whether it was just fingertips, you got to it, or whether it was full palm, I don't know. But again, Dubravka, for me, I'm not going to say he was totally at fault for that goal because our players switched off and we should have responded better from the quick free kick. But it shouldn't have been taken anyway because we had a player down with a head injury. And I don't know if they said this at halftime in the interval or whether the commentators did, but it's the interpretation of the law, not the letter of the law. So if a player is down with a head injury, the ref doesn't have to stop the game if he doesn't think it's serious enough. So but he's got to be decapitated before he stops play. How does he know?
I don't mind that. I've got no problem with that. And, you know, sometimes there will be situations where you think, well, that was obviously a terrible head injury, and you should have, like, when the final, when he was allowed to play on, when he should never have been able to play on against Man United. He was responsible for the two goals, or at least played a huge part in them, and he was all over the bloody shop. So I can understand why the ref might look at it and go, you know what, you were just slapped, your pansy, get up. My problem is that you'd already set this stall out. You'd already, in early in the game, said, I'm not going to let you do fast free kicks. Why the hell is he letting them do a fast free kick at this point when all the players have basically stopped, including ours? Yes, West Ham have switched on to take the quick free, but everyone else is just sort of standing there waiting for the referee to get out of the way and to, you know, to move the ball back and all that bollocks. And he just waves it on, and then Newcastle have to scramble to try and get somebody in front of the ball. We're not fast, as we've already said. Why is he letting them do a fast one there when he wouldn't let them do a fast one earlier in the game and give everyone the impression that was how he's going to do it? What's the thinking?
The ref lost the plot within the first opening few minutes, if you ask me. I don't think he had a very good game whatsoever. I think the yellow card for, I think it was Suchek, for basically body checking Bruno. There was a few more worthy yellow card tackles from West Ham within that game, and he just didn't bother following through on them. And I'm all for a physical game and everything like it, but when it gets to the point where you should be dishing out yellow cards, but you're not, but then you're letting shit like that slide, there's no consistency to the ref's performance, the linesman's performance, or anything like it. The linesman could have flagged for any of those free kicks or anything like that if he wanted to get the ref's attention, but again, he didn't. And to me, it was just a shit show from the officials all game round.
Honestly, I wonder what the hell the linesmen do these days, because they'll either just put the flag up for like a freaking free kick or something, or not free kick, for like a throw-in when everyone already knows it's gone out or whatever. Or they'll wait for the referee to make a decision and then they'll wave the flag, like as if they've just done something really worthy. I don't know what the hell they do anymore, the linesmen. They've almost been neutered to the point of being pointless. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so West Ham going 2-1 at the half-time break. I've got to be honest, like, I don't think we deserve to be winning that game at that point. I don't think...
Yeah.
I think West Ham were the more cognizant team. They were the team that kind of had a better idea of what they were doing. Their game plan was more set than ours. We seemed to be a little bit like kind of just trying out all kinds of different things and hoping something would work. And we looked lethargic and passive with dog shit, as we've said. Go on.
We definitely created more chances than them. Again, as mentioned earlier on, we had Bruno's attempt off the crossbar. And then, again, Gordon's glancing header at the near post. I think it was from Murphy's cross. So we definitely created further opportunities. And, you know, if one of them goes in, we'll level at halftime and it's a different game altogether. But, yeah, we're going at 2-1 down. And Demi famously says in the chat, the next 15 minutes are crucial. 2 minutes later, it's 3-1.
Yeah, he was on that fence again, wasn't he, old Demi?
He was, aye.
The stats at half-time, 12 shots to us to their 6. But we only had 4 on target to their 3. So, like, it's basically evens for the shots that actually matter.
Aye.
Although, having said that, I've just been saying, why don't you take a shot? You never know what happens. So, but it just feels like every shot we took was a load of shit. We had 61 possession to their 39. We had more passes than them. Our pass accuracy was down to 83%. Did we just stuff those? Did we just pad those stats by passing sideways and backwards for the last 10 minutes? Because, God, some of those passes, the critical passes in particular, were at times absolutely atrocious. But as you say, you're coming out. So Eddie Howe would have had to change his halftime talk probably, and he's probably got a few things he wants to say. And then we're going 2-1. And you come out there and you're thinking, right, it can't get any worse. That half wasn't very good. It has to get better, really. And then we're going to concede, and it's 3-1. And I'm thinking, this could be a cricket score. This could be really embarrassing, this result, if we don't sort our bloody shit out. And this was from a corner. We were pushing forwards to try and get an equaliser. It would have been 2-2. They break down the wing. It was Kudus, who I thought was excellent. Every time he had the ball, he seemed to be really assured of what he was going to do. The ball looked like it was stuck to his feet most of the time. It looked like if he wanted to, he could just leg it down that line and knee bugger was getting anywhere near him. I mean, we tried twice in this move to get him off the ball, like hook or crook, and he just skipped around us. He does a lovely ball, squares it into Bowen, who's managed to race into shit tons of space. There's aforementioned cement-footed Dubravka is firmly cemented to his line, well, to his 8-yard box, wherever it was. he's not really posing any kind of issue. And Bowen strokes it right across the face of goal. If you look at where the way Dubravka looks to save that, he just kind of puts his arm down. He's not even trying to stretch his arm out. He's just like, oh, no, I'm beaten. I've got my angles all wrong here. I've done an absolutely shit job. 3-1. And I don't know about you, but like I say, I'm thinking we're going mental in the chat. Like it was desperate. Like I thought you'd actually switched off. It was Mark. I thought Mark had just pissed off.
No, he said he was going to bed.
Because it had exactly that feel of it though, didn't it? You know what I mean? Like it was just dog shit. I couldn't see us getting another goal, let alone scoring another friggin' three.
When that third goal went in, I said that was as bad as Luton home and away rolled into one, because it was, to be honest. That third goal was almost laughable. You should never really concede a goal from your own corner. Yes, counter-attacks and everything, but the way and the manner we conceded it as well, it was laughable. It really was. And then, 2-3 minutes later, Eddie decides to make a triple sub. It was only a double sub to begin with. But then Tino goes and rolls his ankle. So he then forces a third sub all on at the same time. And
it was Miggy, wasn't it?
That changed the game. But one of the subs then went off 2 minutes later.
Yeah, so what the hell happened to Miggy then? Because
I don't know.
I didn't see him do anything. From the camera angle that we got on the telly, all we heard was that Miggy was off screen walking towards the line, and next thing you know, he's gone. And you're thinking, what the friggin' hell happened? And then Harvey Barnes comes on. You're thinking, what the friggin' happened? What the hell just happened here? Did you hear anything about what happened in that moment there?
The last I remember him actually being anywhere near the ball was when he crossed it for Longstaff when he fluffed that shot. A few minutes after Isak fluffed his two. Maybe he's tweaked something. I think when he was on the floor, he's holding his cough. Maybe he's tweaked that, who knows? God knows. But in terms of cameos go, was a little bit impactful because he created two chances, but he goes off 2-3 minutes later.
Well, to be fair to him, I thought he looked alright when he came on. He was doing one thing that we seemed to be missing at that time, which was kind of incisive runs and making the back line worry about somebody. As much as I thought Murphy was playing a good game when he was whipping in some decent crosses, and he continued to do that for the rest of the game, actually, he doesn't quite have the pace of a Miggy. And yeah, all right, Miggy's a headless chicken, but sometimes that kind of that craziness of like, oh, what's Miggy going to do? Is he going to do an absolute thunder bastard like last season? Or is he going to foul out? He's on dick or something. You don't know which one you're going to get. So it kind of makes everyone doesn't know what to expect. And everyone's on the toes thinking, oh, shit, what's going to happen next? And then he goes off, which is an absolute shitter. But we do manage to get to two. Was that the Gordon penalty?
It was, So our second goal was a second penalty. And you don't think this was a penalty in any which way, shape, or form?
How can it be? Phillips doesn't even know the frig is there. He's literally in the process of kicking the ball. So if someone comes along and sticks their foot in the middle of, in between the ball, which is at your feet, and you, well, you're 3/4 the way towards hitting it, and someone just sticks their foot in the middle and goes, starts rolling around in the box. How is that a penalty?
Is it not classed as an interception, or has he got to touch the ball first?
All he intercepted was Phillips's foot.
If he steps in front of the player to prevent him from making that pass or clearance, then surely it's classed as an interception. And if he's taken down as part of that period of play, then it's a foul.
If you look at that though, how can you be given a free kick against you when you're literally just trying to kick the ball? I mean, it's called football. You're trying to kick the ball with your foot, and somebody comes along from behind and just stick the foot in front of you and gets a penalty as a result. It's fucking madness. I mean, you could use that as a legitimate tactic if that's the case. Every time any of the opposition has the ball in the box, just run up to them from behind, stick your foot in the way, get a penalty.
I do think of the two penalties, that was the one that was less obvious. I do think the first one was more obvious than the second. Phillips, he's had a stinker since he joined West Ham, and it does look like a bullet well and truly dodge on that one. But I can totally see if West Ham fans are going to be pissed off with that. I would probably be too if that happened to us. But I do also think there is a reasoning behind it. obviously VAR couldn't give a decision straight away, so they made the ref. And again, as mentioned, when they go to the monitor, 99.9% is going to go in favour of the attacking team.
Yeah, and it did.
And again, Isak steps up and Isak finishes like only Isak can do. That man, he's absolutely sublime, isn't he? He's absolutely mint.
He's dependable. At the from the spot, he's just a murderer. He just murders that ball from the spot. He's absolutely wonderful. 3-2. And suddenly the crowd's up. Suddenly the West Ham fans who were doing all theirs, not early, a little bit earlier on, like really winding up the home crowd. As West Ham pretty much went nowhere with the ball. They're just like, olay, olay. Because, I mean, the 3-1 up and we haven't looked like we're going to get anywhere near them. And suddenly it's 3-2. So we've only scored 2 penalties at this point. Still don't really look like we're going to score from open goal, from open play. Harvey Barnes on for Miggy. I'm pretty sure that's correct. Talks to his first of two. So he scores 2 in the space of 7 minutes.
He does. I also want to talk about the chance he had from Gordon's cross. So Gordon goes out on the left to switch out for Miggy, and Barnes goes out on the right. Gordon puts a cross in from the right-hand side, and Barnes, running past there, the last man, smashes a volley, but it's straight in Ariola's hands. I think if that one nestles into the bottom corner, then that would have been one of the goals of the season, purely based on the build-up play for it, the cross, the finish and everything like that. But I'm actually struggling to remember Barnes' first goal because I've just got a replay of his second going around in my head. Just
The best part about this whole goal, I mean, Shaw passes it into the inside, into Isak, who's dropped deep. And he turns and he sees Barnes running off his man, off the last line of defence into space. And he threads an absolutely incredible ball right through the middle, right down the West Ham dick, straight down the middle of him. And Harvey Barnes picks up the ball, slots underneath the legs of Flapihanski. And you could see the crowd celebrating, jumping around. He's obviously celebrating Harvey Barnes, but then like everyone's just running back to the circle because I think at this point everyone's starting to think, you know what, it's 3-3 now. And there's definitely time, and West Ham seem to have gone a little bit now. Did you get that feeling? Because West Ham, because once they brought Phillips on, and took Antonio off as well. I'm not sure if that was the same sub or a different sub, but that they did take off Antonio, so they had no target man to aim for and hold up the ball. They brought on Phillips, who was struggling badly, unfortunately for him. He's given away a penalty already. Did you get the sense that West Ham's heads were starting to kind of little go a little bit? The crowd's up, the noise is back. From what was it up to this point, really a bit of a tame St. James's Park. It felt like
it was either the atmosphere turn, was flat as a fart. It really was. I was hoping there'd be a moment of spark, which would then kick the crowd into gear, and we had it. And comes in the form of Harvey Barnes. I mean, there's been a few people this season on social media saying he was an absolute waste of money because he's been injured. Him and Tonali have just been absolutely pointless. There's absolutely no way you can predict he's going to get that random freak foot injury, which is going to keep him out for the majority of the season. When he's on form, Harvey Barnes is unstoppable. There's a reason why he was Leicester's top goal scorer last season when they got relegated. I think he contributed close to 30 goals for a team that got relegated, which is absolutely phenomenal when you think about it. He's an absolute beast. He's strong. He's quick. As we know, he can finish. He's got an eye for a pass, and he just looks like he's getting back to his best. And now that Gordon had his moment of madness, which we'll get on to, looks as though Barnes is going to be starting next week now.
Fuck, honestly, it's give and take with this bloody team, isn't it? They can't just let us have a fun bloody game. They have to like sort of still stiff us some way or another. Harvey Barnes. I was always a fan of his at Leicester. I was very, very happy when he joined us. To say that he's a waste of money because he got injured is ridiculous. I mean, 3/4 of the team have got injured. Does that mean everyone in this team is a waste of money? Tonali, who knows? He might still end up being a waste of money for all we know. I mean, he only played a few games. In some of those games, he was all right. In other games, he wasn't that good at all. Who knows? I mean, he was only just getting settled in, though. Like, he might come back an absolute monster. He might come back pile of crap. It's yet to be seen. But for the likes of Harvey Barnes, who've already played in this league, won the league with Leicester, you know he's got that pace, that electric pace. And as we saw with his second goal, he scored 2 in 7 minutes, the second goal. That's his favourite goal to score as well. The difference on that second goal, really, from most of the other times he cuts in and swipes it with his right into the corner, is that he had like 2 seconds to think about it. Not even that. He barely had a lot of time at all. He did a beautiful little turn, got the ball from Gordon, who was held the ball up really well down the side of the goal there, and Gordon passes it to Barnes, and he does that lovely little turn to make the space, gets onto his favourite foot, and I don't know about you, mate, like it's nearly 1 a.m. when that ball goes in. I've got my bairn asleep in the bedroom next to me, and I'm jumping around like a fucking idiot, making shitloads of noise. I obviously, when we got to 3-3, I thought this could still we could still win this, but I also, because it's Newcastle, I was like, we could still lose this as well. And then when I saw that goal fly in, I'm like, ah, just an emotional release just came flying out. How many people did you wake up when that one went in?
All of them. Literally, I think everyone's lights went on in the entire neighbourhood. There's 130,000 people here in Mackay, and I think we're all awake now. So, you know, that's on me. Sorry for everyone around you. But I got a message off my father, who's obviously back in the UK. He was driving, listening to the radio on Metro, and he nearly crashed the car. He had to pull over because he started celebrating Bonds' goal and nearly crashed the car. He video called me on Facebook saying I have just nearly had a crash. Celebrating Barnes' goal, but it would have been fucking worth it.
that's serious, that, man, isn't it? Jesus Christ. But it was a beautiful goal. It was scored at just the right moment. Although, having said that, there was still plenty of time for West Ham to try and ruin the party at the very end. And I think 4-4 might have been a fair result, to be honest with you.
You've got to think, we still create another two chances, because Isak had that opportunity, which, for whatever reason, I don't know why, when he's one-on-one with the keeper almost. I'm not sorry, he's got one defender. But he goes to the right-hand side of the goal rather than to the left, open the goal up for him, and he really narrows his own angle. That was a bit of a strange decision, but he was absolutely knackered towards the end. And then Bruno, when he was fed through from Barnes, and Flappy Hansky was just literally inches away from either bringing him down or Bruno rounding him and making it 5-3, which obviously would have then made it home and dry at that point. But they had that opportunity right at the end, which I think was Suchek, where I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know whether he tried to score, pass it back to goal, but he ended up chesting out of play, I think. He just didn't do anything. He just bounced off him.
I was just sitting there waiting for the net to move there, and I was just ready to, you know, I was ready to murder Dubravka, because it was, once again, some shit goalkeeping from Dubravka, although he has been pretty good this season at times. And it would have been typical, wouldn't it, to just kind of fuck it right at the end, just like completely balls it. Of course, we didn't help ourselves, because Gordon gets himself sent off for a bloody ridiculous kick away with the ball. What goes through these players' heads? They know fine well you can't kick the ball away now. They know that's being clamped down on. And the gormless sod still does it. What is he thinking? Did he forget he had a yellow already?
He must have done, but I tell you what, the ref didn't even realise, because it wasn't until the West Ham players pointed out, and you see it on the high-angle replay, all the West Ham players pointing to the ref that Gordon's kicked the ball, and he then turned around, so he has, and then he gives him the second yellow, and off he goes. So, you know, the West Ham players effectively got Gordon sent off.
Supposed to be cracking down on that, aren't they?
I don't think any of them flashed the card or anything. They said, hold on, he's just kicked the ball away, and he's already booked. No. So, well, obviously, letter of the law, you know, we've been talking about letter of the law before with their head injury to Shaw.
He deserves it. It was absolutely stupid. And now he's not going to be available for the next game. He's not going to be available for the next game.
There's no excuse. He deserved to be red carded, because two fair yellows, because he pulled, can't remember who he pulled back. I think it was Kudos for the first one. And then again, he had a Nick Pope-sized brain fart for the second one. So
he had to pull back Kudos, though. I mean, whatever his name was, he was away there. He was in. That was the kind of professional foul that we didn't even get close to doing in the first half, when it might have been able to cut out of one of those two of those chances that they had. Anyway, that goal that Harvey Barnes celebrates, everyone's gone mental, limbs are everywhere. I saw some guy at the corner trying to get out past the marshals, and he's just fallen over the place. He's sat the sod. Eddie Howe got a yellow card for celebrating that goal because I think he ran out of his area. I think Moyes got yellow carded for kicking off. I think maybe he's on that second penalty. I'm not sure. But so everyone, the cards were flying around at this point. So yeah, Gordon will miss the next game, which is absolutely brilliant. Newcastle managed to see it out 4-3. Everyone gets a chance to just breathe. It was almost like two slightly, not elite, but slightly just below elite teams having a go at each other. A little bit too open at times. That led to all these goals. Calvin Phillips, the poor bastard, he comes on, he gives away a penalty. And for Harvey Barnes' second goal, by the way, he makes absolute no effort whatsoever to cut out the ball as he's running across it. And then he just stands there and watches Harvey Barnes kick the goal. He just I'll just stand here and watch, and straight into the corner. Absolute dog shit from Phillips. So, I mean, as much as I give him a pass on the penalty, that was entirely just him being rusty and shit for the second goal. He has not worked out well. Full-time stats, 60 possessions to us to their 40. We had 24 shots in the end to their 10. That's staggering, that 24 shots. I mean, they must be looking at anything that's been kicked anywhere and blocked within the first 2 seconds. 9 on target to their 4. And, you know, fouls and corners, who cares? So, 4-3. We've ended the game and we've went up to 8th now on 43 points. We've played 29. West Ham just above us in 7th on 44 points. But we have a game in hand over them. And then you've got Man United on 47, Spurs on 53, Villa on 56, City on 63, Poole on 64, and Arsenal on 64. So obviously the rest of the games to come this weekend, Wolves and Brighton can push us back down into 10th, unfortunately. Wolves on 41, Brighton on 42, Newcastle on 43, as I said. Chelsea's on 39, so they can't reach us. So we need to watch out for some of these results. But that should give us... You know, that the way we've come back in that second half, that's got to give us confidence for the next few games coming up, surely. I mean, we've got to go into next few games thinking we can fucking do this when we want to.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got absolutely no problems with the fact that we're scoring goals, we are creating chances. It's the fact that we are conceding goals left, right, and centre. And we touched on it before, but I do think the weak link in that defence is Martin Dubravka. Yes, he's had his great moments for us since Pope got injured, notably the penalty shootout against Blackburn, where he made some crucial saves to get through to the next round. But he is the weak link. We miss Pope so much in that sweeper-keeper role because with defenders, or at least with centre-backs, are slow. They're just not quick enough to play such a high line and then track back, and that was evident today for their first goal, and maybe even their third as well, just for the way nobody was anywhere close to Bowen for their third goal.
Well, we're just overcommitted. We do that all the time, and a bit of pace and we're absolutely shafted. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm absolutely knackered. We were going to do this instant reaction either way, had we've lost or had we have won. Thankfully, it was a win in the end that we've managed to snatch from the jaws of defeat. Who's your man of the match, Craigie?
I'm going to say Harvey Barnes, game changer. But Isak gets a joint between Barnes and Isak, because Isak scored 2 well-taken penalties and he created that third goal with that sublime assist.
You can do an AFL 3-2-1. I know you love the AFL.
Oh, it's my favourite, isn't it? I love it. I'll go with Isak, number one. So he takes the top dog spot, the big dog spot.
Isak 3.
Then Barnes. And purely just for his defensive work in that second half and some of the crosses he put in, I'm going to say Murphy. Luke, he did have a few off passes and stuff in the first half. Again, the connection between him and Kraft was a bit off. But once Kraft went off, he seemed solid, and he was defensively solid going up against some quality players, especially when his legs were starting to tighten towards the end. So I'm going to go Isak, Barnes, then Murphy.
I'm going to go Gordon 3 because once again, he was at the core, the heart of absolutely everything that we did. I'm going to give Barnes 2. And I know I'm not going to give Isaac any points here, which is, sounds ridiculous, but I'm actually going to give a point to Lewis Hall, who I thought was actually pretty decent when he came on. You know, everyone's saying, why aren't we playing him? He's been a waste of money. Another one of those ones, Craig. And yet, I thought he was really decent. He was he brought legs. He was keen. He wanted the ball. He was making things happen down the wing. I thought he was – he looked good. You know, we all know he's a good player. We just haven't had a frigging chance to see him. So let's hope we get to see him a bit more. I mean, having the way people are falling over and dying out there for us at the minute, it's not going to be too long before he's playing every sudden game towards the end of the season. Speaking of which, Lascelles, Tino, and Miggy have all picked up injuries. We'll have to see how that pans out. Lascelles, I don't know which one was worse, Lascelles or Tino. Tino looked like he'd rolled his ankle. He was in some pain. Lascelles kind of walked off and jogged a little bit, didn't he? And then he sort of came back on and then went off again.
You can never tell. I think with Tino, he knew straight away that he had to come off. Lascelles thought he could maybe run it off, so that might not be as bad. Hopefully he's good enough for Everton. And then Miggy, God knows. It could just be he took a knock. Maybe it was a dead leg, whatever. So hopefully he's okay. But you can never tell with these muscle injuries. And knowing how I look, he's probably going to be out now until 2044, something like that.
So Tino, let's say Tino and Lascelles are out. Who the hell do we bring in? We could bring in Lewis if we're allowed to play him. I'm not even sure we are.
Well, we can play him against... Hawke can play.
So let's say Hawke goes
in at left back. Then you've got Boone and Shaw for your centre-backs. And then Trips, if he's back fit for Everton.
Yeah, Trips. That's what I was forgetting. Yeah. But then again, he's just coming back from injury, so...
Aye.
You know, as we've just seen with Miggy, if you do it too soon, you just end up aggravating it. Not for the first time. With frigging Botman deciding to play when you should have had a frigging... operation, for Christ's sake.
Ah, that's an annoyance.
And now he's stuffed for the next frigging 8 months or something. Listen to the guys who know better, man. Jesus, if you don't want to, if you're not ready to play it, listen to the frigging medical staff. Different fucking play. Mm-hmm. All right, anyway, I forgot to mention those league positions were live. The Premier League is still obviously playing. Anyway, we'll leave it there. Oh, geez, I tell you what, I need like 12 hours kip after that. Anyway, 4-3 to Newcastle. A pretty vital win, really. Let's hope it gives us the momentum we need going into the rest. Yeah, to the rest of the season. And all of that, you cockney bastards. 4-3. How about the Mighty Bags? Cheers, Craigie.